Now, some of you who may be, you know, quite attentive when they come to church might say, how are we at the second Sunday of ordinary time when we didn't have a first Sunday of ordinary time? Well, it's one of those kind of quirky things in the church is liturgical calendar. Technically, last weekend was the first Sunday of ordinary time, but we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, which kind of concludes the Christmas season. So in reality, there really isn't a first Sunday in ordinary time. I'm currently taking a class on the liturgy, and I was shocked to learn that all that happens in the liturgical calendar throughout the year. Every Sunday earns the highest rank of the calendar, but there are two solemnities that can override a Sunday if they land on a Sunday, and there are feast days, memorial days, optional memorial days, and it can vary from diocese to diocese. So when you see Father Jude flipping through the missal trying to find his place, please be patient. The church calendar is both complex and simple. It's complex because certain celebrations are on a fixed day every year, while others, like Easter, move from year to year. There are times when these fixed days clash with moving days. But it's also simple because there is a great rhythm because the calendar flows the same from year to year, and each year highlights the same people and events as the previous year. And all of this is to help us move along in our faith journey. But the liturgical calendar is just like any other calendar. It's about one thing, time. A secular calendar keeps time chronologically, marking the days, months, and years. And a liturgical calendar, while keeping some semblance of chronological time, is much more concerned about keeping God's time. In theological terms, the liturgical calendar is not talking about chronos, but about kairos, God's perfect timing. So as we flow from Advent to Christmas to ordinary time, it's about us helping us to find God's perfect timing in our lives. John the Baptist seems to have a good grasp on the concept of kairos. He is out in the desert baptizing those coming from the city before Jesus even arrives. John trusted that if he did his part, that the Messiah would come. I would sense that John knew what he was called to do and did it precisely not knowing the outcome. Part of what trusting in God's timing is, which is rarely an easy thing to do. I don't know about the rest of you, but I really like to think that I'm in control of my own time. Being able to say I'm going to do this at this time and that at that time, but I'll have some free time here. It's something that I would like to have the luxury of doing. And quite frankly, there are people who structure their lives to do that very thing, making sure they can do exactly what they want to do when they want to do it. And while this does bring a sense of stability and control, it leaves very little room for God to be creative in their lives. While being stable, it can be boring. So many turn to things to fill the lack of God's creativeness in their lives. Drugs, gambling, pornography, watching too much television, indulging in too much social media. These are the things that people do to fill their time that is creative, but not divinely creative. While not being an absolute, one way to tell if something in your life is divinely created is if it gives glory to God, or does it just give glory to ourselves? Last weekend, Father Jude spoke about how we are called to share our financial resources for the benefit of the church and our sisters and brothers. This week, I would like to talk about the other part of stewardship, which is about sharing our time and talents. But before you start to roll your eyes, I know who you are. I'm not here to make you feel guilty about not giving enough time to the church or to charity. If there is any guilt, it's not coming from me. What I am going to do is share my personal story of stewardship, hopefully show you two things. One is that stewardship of time is not an all or nothing proposition. Number two is that it does not take some special talent or drive to share your time, just a willingness to help. So the most daunting task when I chose to give my time is what to do. When I looked at people that were already serving in the parish, I thought, I could never do what they do. I could never live up to their standard. So I did what any self-declared introvert would do. I joined the choir. I figured that they usually put the men in the back so I could just kind of hang out, not draw any attention to myself. No one besides those next to me would never know if I was a good singer or not. And guess what? It worked. Then after a couple of years in the choir, I was watching the people that were giving out communion to others. Even though it meant speaking, even if it is only four words, let's go ahead and count them out. I thought, that's something I could do. And guess what? It worked. After a few years of being an extraordinary Eucharistic minister, I took the big jump, being a lector. This was a little more challenging for me, but I was well trained and there are some great resources to help proclaim the Word of God well. Being involved in the parish like I am, I know dozens of things around here that needs to get done every week. Some require being able to write well, count well, or speak well. Others are as simple as pouring drinks at discipleship nights or greeting those that come into our parish. If you'd like to stay in the background, it doesn't get any more in the background than ushering. Right, guys? My point is that there are plentiful opportunities to serve the parish using your time and talents. You may not think that giving an hour's worth of time every month makes a difference, but I can assure you that it does, not only for the parish, but especially for the minister. Because over time, something really great happens. You begin to develop the heart of a steward. Remember last week, Father Jude was saying that a steward is someone who takes care of someone else's resources. Well, we are all stewards of this parish because it's God's house. And we have the responsibility to take care of it so that it can be passed along to those coming after us. Because while God's time is unending, ours is not. We are here to take care of the resources given to us so that they are available for others. So in your pews and online, if you got it, are these blue sheets for stewardship. I ask you to take one of these home this week and prayerfully think about the time and talent that you might be able to share with our parish. There are many great things to do in our parish, many things that need to get done. But please take some time to prayerfully consider sharing your time and talents.